Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Every situation right now in the state of Massachusetts, where people are being fined for not having purchased health care, but choose to accept the fine because they still can't afford it, even with the subsidies. And they are then worse off. They then have no health care and are paying a fine above and beyond that.
And good morning. It is March 27th, Saturday, 10 a.m. our time, and another edition of Oregon Update. And it's sunny out here in Eugene. How about in your area, Cliff?
Well, you know, oh, it's gorgeous here. It's really nice. It has rained up until about half an hour ago, but it's looked like it. And we had fog this morning, really heavy fog this morning, too.
Well, I'm just glad to see a pause in the rain, especially after it's been raining pretty heavily the last couple of days. And
oh, I know. I went to Eugene to the doctor yesterday, and boy, coming back, it was just pouring down rain. At least at some places, it almost felt like it was hail, but it wasn't. It was just huge raindrops just splattering all over the place.
Well, actually, because a couple of days ago, I had to make some deliveries up towards the coast area, and besides the heavy rain, I actually did have some hail with a slight mixture of snow.
Over. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Great. That's just, I heard somebody else talking about snow, too. It's April, for God's sakes, almost. I mean, that's enough for the snow already.
Yeah.
If you don't get it to us in the wintertime when it's nice to have it, then you miss your chance.
So. Unfortunately, this is Oregon. It doesn't surprise anybody if it snows in July.
Well, that's true. I don't know about July.
Anyways, welcome. This is Oregon Update, Saturday edition. And if you'd like to join us on the show today, you can call us at our number 646-721-9887. You can email us with your comments or show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. And we do have the chat room open today, too. And there should be a link on the page right there where it says, by profile, it says chat now. Or you can go straight to it by www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, not VN, BN, just BN. Not
King, Roger, Bravo, Nancy.
That works.
Or something. Can you play that thing with the president that you played at the beginning?
Yeah, I can make that.
Can you play that again? I'd be interested in hearing that. I think I'm upset.
Well, it kind of.
I need to hear it before I'm sure if I'm upset.
Okay. Well, to clarify what it is, this is. Of course, I didn't mark the date on the stupid thing. It's a clip from the debates. For the presidential candidacy.
Oh.
I'm a talk show host, can you tell? Anyway, candidacy between Hillary Clinton and, to be President Obama.
So this goes way back.
This goes way back, and this is where he's putting down Mrs. Clinton about the health care. And what is significant about this particular clip is that it's pretty much what the new health care bill is. But let me play the clip again, and you'll see what I mean.
You can have a situation, which we're seeing right now in the state of Massachusetts, where people are being fined for not having purchased health care, but choose to accept the fine because they still can't afford it, even with the subsidies. And they are then worse off. They then have no health care and are paying a fine above and beyond that.
And that's exactly the way the system is now. People are saying that universal health care is free. No, it's not. If you have,
well,
if you're below,
well, the thing that gets to me is, why are we doing this subsidy crap? I mean, is it the whole idea is to figure out how to spend more money to do what you're doing? I mean, you know, if you don't, if you require this subsidy, this thing about oh, you don't have to pay for it, but we'll pay you to pay for it. So we now make it three steps instead of zero. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Exactly.
And this is what I was thinking. You know, I didn't realize it was that long ago, but it's basically, like you say, basically what's happening right now. And this mandatory anything is just insane. And people are saying, well, you know, nothing. There's no other thing that the government makes mandatory. What do you think automobile insurance is? That's rather mandatory.
Yeah, but do you have a choice to have a car or not? Here's what they're saying is that every American is going to be required to purchase, if you don't already have health insurance supplied by Medicare, Medicaid, or your company, you're going to be required to purchase your own health care or be fined at the end of the year.
Okay, you know, I do have to take umbrage with your first statement. You can choose not to have a car. No, you can't. If you want to actually work and make a living and actually do things in life, you really can't, in this day and age, choose not to have a car. If you're living in a big city where there is public transportation, perhaps to a certain extent some people can. I know a lot of people in New York get along without a car. But try living in Cottage Grove and getting along without a car. It ain't going to happen.
Well, that's true. And same thing, although LTD would not like me saying this, but same thing in Eugene.
Yeah, but even less so in Eugene, though, because in Eugene you probably could get along without a car. Of course, how, you know, even Eugene Springfield, how far away do you live from a grocery store?
I could walk there in 5 minutes.
You could?
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, see, in Cottage Grove, we don't have this abundance of grocery stores. We have two, and I could not walk to one in 5 minutes because it's like 2.5 miles away.
Right.
So even if I was a walker, which I used to be, when I was a walker, I walked 4 miles an hour. So we're still talking half an hour, 20, 40 minutes away for us to get my groceries. And I would have to do this probably every other day because I wouldn't be able to carry home 30 tons of groceries on my back every day. So.
Right. Well, unless you live in Portland where they envision everybody on a bicycle pulling a little trailer to haul their groceries.
Well, you know, I suppose in reality I could. But, you know, here's the thing that gets to me. I'm sorry. I have great faith in the system. I honestly believe if everybody bought bicycles and was running around the world with bicycles with little trailers, they would put rules on them and make you have insurance.
So, sure they would.
So consequently, you know, this requirement of insurance thing, I don't know how the insurance companies got to the point that they made the government do this, but there is a major problem there. I mean, I get upset when we have a system that works and then we change it so that we have to pay for it. What's that?
Are under false pretenses. Like what really made the news, for example, on this health care bill was the abortion issue.
Okay.
That's what one of the issues that made or broke the bill is that President Obama promised to change the bill so it would not fund abortion. And so with that, some of the congressmen that were not going to vote yes for it, or some that were undecided, decided that, okay, if you're not going to have an abortion in it, then, yeah, we'll go ahead and vote for it.
Right. Right. See, I already thought we had a law about abortion.
We do.
I mean, well, then why don't we use that?
If you can answer that question, I think you can answer.
Really?
Answer to the meaning of life, which is important too, by the way.
Yes, I know. You know that.
I know that.
Wow, I didn't know.
Life, universe, and everything is not 42, although that is the correct answer.
Yes, right. That's interesting. Okay. Anyway, back to what I was saying, though. Let's look at automobiles again. You can go to the DMV, and you can take a test, and you can pass the test, but you can't have a driver's license. until what? until you take driver's training.
Oh, right, right.
Well, no, not right. If I can go to the DMV, they give me a book that tells me everything I need to know.
Right.
And if I can go to the DMV and pass that test, that's fine. And then in order to actually get a driver's license, I have to go and drive with some person, I'm just going to say that, in the car with me who determines whether or not I actually know how to do it physically. And if I can show them I know how to do it physically and show them that I know the rules with this little computer test, why do I have to have driver's training to teach me the same thing that I already just proved that I know how to do? I have to have driver's training because I have to pay for that. And basically, it's the government supporting a business. And I don't think the government should be supporting these businesses.
Now, driver training, you're talking about like for somebody our age or just people starting out with a driver's license?
People who are starting out and getting their first driver's license.
Oh, okay.
I mean, even at our age, I would assume that if we're getting our first driver's license, we'd have to have driver training.
Well, I know that if you're over a certain age, they would like you to take some type of training again.
I know.
I've forgotten how to drive. I've been doing it for 75 years, and I just can't remember how to drive.
Well, unfortunately, I have been doing it for almost 75 years, and I find myself taking things for granted, not being as aware as I possibly should be. Of course, now I don't drive because I've got bad eyeballs, but that's another story. So, and that's another thing, too, is you know, one of the things that I don't mind the idea that after a certain age you have to go in and be tested, you know, not necessarily in your driving skills, but perhaps your physical skills, because people have a tendency to physically deteriorate, but they don't acknowledge the fact, and that can be a problem. I recall back years ago when I was driving with my grandfather, and unfortunately he had cataracts or whatever it is, something that floated in front of his eyeballs and he couldn't see, but he wouldn't stop driving. And there were times when I was fearful for my life riding with him in the car. So if they had been on the ball and tested people after they get to a certain age a little more often. I know it's a pain in the neck, but it's just something that sometimes kind of happens. But back to this business of mandatory anything. You actually save money if you just give it to them.
Well, yeah, and the way, well, as much money as we give away overseas for whatever reason, we have enough money, I feel, that without increasing the national debt, that we could offer health insurance to everybody here.
Well, I believe we could offer it to everybody here without even touching the military budget or any of that other, right. Our war chest, if you want to call it that. Because, first of all, we've got to get the insurance companies out of this particular equation, because they're what's costing us a huge amount of money. And the insurance companies are making huge amounts of money. Even though they cry and holler and yell, they still are making gargantuan amounts of money. And we need to do something to get them out of this equation, because it's gambling. I mean, insurance companies are nothing but gambling. They know darn good and well that if they sign all these people up for this minuscule little amount of money, that they're going to lose money if somebody gets sick. And so they know good and well, and right up that, on top of things, that when you get sick, they're going to tell you to go away, and we can't do anything for you, and because they can't spend all that money, or they wouldn't be making any money.
Well, so, that's and the insurance companies, since you bring that up, they're the ones that are actually going to benefit by this bill, because
absolutely,
unless you qualify for low income. Which they're saying like the Oregon health care plan would kick in, but if you qualify for the Oregon health care plan, you don't need the national health care plan. But everybody else, I don't qualify for the health care, but I make a little bit more than that. But everybody else is going to have to go to a private insurer and say, insure me. And at that point, they're going to go, well, just like car insurance, sure, we'll insure you. Let's see. We'll look at your background. Okay, fine. We've had this, like in my case, I had my gallbladder taken out last year. Oh, let's see. Well, we can give you
That's one less thing to go wrong.
Yeah, one more thing to go wrong. Let's see, the government requires us to at least provide minimum coverage like they do with car insurance. And so, okay, fine, we'll probably cost you about $2,000 or $3,000 a year. Okay, great.
Right.
I don't have $2,000 or $3,000 a year on health insurance, or I would
right.
have it, which let me bring up a point real quick. If you listen to the debates, what they're talking about is not making universal health care for everybody. They're just using that as a name. What they're doing it is they're mandating health care for everybody. They're not providing it. Like I said, it's not free. They're just mandating that you have to have it.
Right. Well, and this business, you know, I, to a certain extent, as much as I gripe and holler about automobile insurance, the minimum required automobile insurance I do understand, because you can actually do a significant amount of damage to someone else's property with your vehicle, and if you don't have any insurance at all, that someone else could be just out of luck. And the difference is, you know, if I walk over and sit on you, you know, it's not going to make much difference whether or not I have cancer or not.
Right.
And so having universal health care insurance is not the same as automobile insurance. It just isn't the same. So even though I don't like the requirement for the automobile insurance either, but it's I can more see it than I can universal health care.
Well, yeah, because I could run you over with a car.
Right.
You know, do damage to you, but the health care is only going to affect me.
Right, right, basically. And this business of one person getting sick and it costing everybody money, even if they have health care, this is just ridiculous. You know, they quote these figures. You know, in the United States, we spend $50 billion a year on health care. Well, the thing is, that's not the government spending that. They're talking about everything that's spent on it. And that doesn't count. If I'm spending it, the government doesn't have to. And so I'm not hurting everybody else in the process. And so this is just, they've got their, I don't know where they get their figures. They're just coming up with numbers that they can, prove the numbers, but the numbers don't mean anything.
Well, and speaking of, and I don't have the numbers before me, but some healthcare plans have this, what's it called? It's a prepaid thing. You have pre-tax dollars taken out of your paycheck every month, and it's a set aside to help pay for co-pays and other expenses for Medicare or for health insurance. And I guess by 2014, when the act is supposed to go into full force, that the amount that can be set aside will be lessened.
Yeah. By 38 cents.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they don't give you figures. They don't give you any numbers at this particular point in time. And I understand that they can't, but you watch when we get there, if things stay the same, which they won't, by the way, because this thing is, they're going to put this thing into effect, and then they're going to realize how screwed up it is, and they're going to be fixing it all along.
Right.
And so, you know, that's why I look at most of these things that I get very upset about and don't want to. At first, I read it or hear about it, and I'm, oh, my God, that's ridiculous. But I know good and well that sometimes it's just a beginning. What upsets me is a 2,600-page beginning. Let's begin with two or three pages and then work from there. Come on.
Well, you have to account for everything.
Except that you can't account for everything, because everything you account for is going to get screwed up and it's going to all change.
Yeah.
But then this is what keeps this is why we pay our congressmen and our legislators big bucks.
Yeah. Well, and as some of the polls are saying now, that more and more people are starting to like the idea. Well, at the end of the year, when this thing goes into full swing and you're expecting, say, your $800,000 tax refund at the end of the year, and you find out that you're going to wind up owing money because you didn't go out and get yourself health insurance, let's see what type of waves there'll be after that happens.
Now, you said your tax refund $800,000, or is that $800 to $1,000?
800 to 8,000.
Okay, okay.
If I had a tax fund of $800,000, I would be living a lot differently.
I was going to say, I'm going to be a real close friend, real quick. God.
Yeah, and all my relatives.
But anyway.
I didn't even know I had.
Yeah, no kidding, sis.
but the point is, you know, just like I heard on one of the talk shows the other day, unfortunately I haven't had time to find the soundbite for it, a situation that a day after Obama signed into law, and again, this is what I heard, so I'm going by memory, somebody went into an hospital wanting a procedure done, and they just kind of looked at him like said, we don't cover that. And they go, well, I thought I'd get free health care now.
No, yeah.
You don't.
Well, that's we do have to, as citizens, be a little bit more aware than that. I mean, nothing happens the day after you sign the bill, and you need to do a little bit of looking into the bill and realize, like you say, nothing happens until like 2014 or something.
Right.
And probably even then it's not going to be phased in. It's going to be 10 years before everything gets phased in. And you know, the thing is, healthcare reform, everybody wants it. Everybody wants it, but they don't really think that what we're getting is it. I saw this little straw poll that the Coffee Party did. And basically it goes along with all the other polls, but basically it says that healthcare reform, everybody wants it, but only if it would include the public option. That's 73%. Healthcare as it is only 17% that want it. But even then, at the 17%, that's way more than the 4.3% who don't want it. So people want this, but they want it with some intelligence instead of just, I don't know what happens to Congress when they get together and start working these things out. Intelligence just seems to go out the window.
Well, not so much intelligence per se. It's the fact that Congress, as somebody suggested, should also be required to get their health care from this type of mandate, is that they don't live in the same world that we live in.
Right.
Even in the White House, wage and hour laws do not apply. That their spouses face. If they vote in, they're not under their own the same laws that they vote in.
Right.
And that's part of the problem is, as somebody mentioned in the Bush administration, that you know the president can walk up to the window, look out the window over the White House lawn and see green and flowers and everything's all rosy, where on the other side of the hedge, people are sleeping on the benches.
Right, right. Well, you know, where to begin? And I'm sure that I do, in a way, feel sorry for Obama, President Obama. I should be a little more respectful. But anyway, because could you imagine stepping into a job and you've got to try to figure out how to handle not only this healthcare thing, but like you say, the homelessness, how do you take care of that? How do you do something about that? And then of course the next thing is the immigration, you know, how are we going to take care of that? He's got major big problems that he has to look into. And I think basically he finally got, you know, it took him a year to figure it out, but he finally got on the idea that, you know, one thing at a time.
Right.
And of course, this thing, of course, is the one that's been sitting here longest. I mean, it's been the 40s or 50s that healthcare reform was originally started talking about it, and we still haven't done anything about it. Well, what does that tell you? Unfortunately, it does not tell you that that's the will of the people. It just tells you it's the will of the people who don't want to be bothered with it, and that's the Congress.
Well, and I got a few comments on that real quick. One is getting back to your point about what the president does. If you ever go out to the White House website, you know, whitehouse.gov, and look what the president does every day, you'd just be flabbergasted. I haven't looked at what
the
president does, but when Bush was in office, you know, just his itinerary, some of the stuff is just to me stupid. It's like like every day or every other day he comes out and says we are proclaiming this day to be national, we're not going to pick our nose day. And It's like, okay, why is the most powerful man in the world having to deal with these little issues or little, you know, whatever? I mean, I'm belittling some of it. Some of the stuff is really important that he does on that thing, but this is almost an everyday event. I mean, he has...
Well, you know, basically, one of the things is that we're doing things wrong. We should be looking at Great Britain a little bit more. We need to have a king or a queen to handle all these little piddly-ass everyday things, and then let the president or whoever get down to the actual running of the country. Because, you know, we need a titular head, you know, a person who has the title, and the queen is you know, a super title, but on the same token, she doesn't do the everyday job of running the country.
Yeah, it's parliament.
She doesn't even have to sign all the bills.
Yeah.
So we could use a little bit of remodeling, but the thing is, we need to do this go a different direction. I say we need to do a little bit of remodeling. We need to do the remodeling, but not in the direction that I was talking about. We need to have the president get the president off the hook for doing all this stuff that I know why he's doing a lot of it. A lot of it has to do with, I want people to like me so they'll vote for me next time. Well, that's why, then if that's the case, because see, that's this voting for you next time. Who was it that every congressman sits there and they say they have to accumulate somehow or another in their fund, their political fund, $1 million a year. That's not easy to do. And if that's what they're spending their time doing, they aren't spending their time working for us. And that's not what they're supposed to be doing. So we've got to change this money thing somehow or another. Give it to somebody else to handle, or make a limit on how much that can be spent on any different thing. And something has to be done to give them and the president and all these people the time to do their job instead of worrying about, do you like me so you'll vote for me and all this kind of stuff. I mean, there's got to be a job there they can do.
And speaking of do you like me, how if people like us, how can they get a hold of us?
Well, by golly, you know, there's a million different ways that they could get in touch with us, and phoning us is probably one of the easiest ways. We do, I'll let you get the phone number in a minute, but get a hold of us by email. We aren't getting enough email. You could ask questions that we could answer on a show. You could email us the questions. There's a ton of stuff that you could do by email to give us. We'd like to have information about what you would like us to be talking about. We'll talk about anything. Robin and I are pretty good at talking about almost any kind of thing. And if you were to email us a whole list of questions, we'd be more than happy to sit here and address each of your questions. Now, please understand that doesn't mean we're going to like you. We may think your questions are stupid and laugh at them, but that's fine. That's the idea. That's the whole point of being here. But send us an email. Give us an idea of what you want to talk about. Give us some questions that you want to talk about. Give some, or if we've done something that you think is just totally stupid or said something that you think is totally stupid, email us and tell us. Let us know. Give us some sort of interaction so that we can do that. It's easy to get a hold of us. It's talk@krbn.com. That's KRBN Radio, I'm sorry. KRBNRadio.com. talk@krbnradio.com. And that's real easy to do. You can just go in there and email us and give us the what for. I mean, we'd love to hear from you. What's the number they can call if they want to talk to us? We'd really even more love to hear you talk to us in person. Give us a number.
Exactly. And by the way, we do read and answer all of our emails. And if you'd like to call in on the show right now, you can do so at 646-721-9887. The chat room is open right now. If you don't want to come on the air, even if you do, but if you have a comment, you can type it out in the chat room.
Do you watch that chat room so if somebody types out a comment, we can comment back?
Absolutely.
All right. We'd love to do that.
Any input except for go off the air, we're more than happy to take.
Yeah, we won't go away entirely. That you can't. You can wish for some things, but that ain't gonna happen.
And speaking of, I'd like to do a quick little show promo. I'll also do this at the end of the show. Next Friday at 7 o'clock Pacific time, which I believe is April 2nd, we're having another edition of Trucker Talk, and we're trying to line up, we do have a guest for the show, and we are trying to line up as many truck drivers, non-truck drivers, or people that are interested in the trucking industry. We're going to talk about some of the new legislations coming up and just life on the road in general. So if you have a question, if you're a non-driver, if you have a question that you'd like to ask a driver, you know, feel free to call in.
I got some questions.
Or send an email, and we'll go ahead and read your questions on the air. And or if there's anything you ever wondered, like why does a truck do this? Again, you'll have your opportunity for this will be our third episode of Trucker Talk. Again, it'll be next Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific time, April 2nd. And, you know, we'd like to get as many people participating as possible.
I have a new law.
Yeah?
Yeah, for truckers, okay? Truckers need more laws.
Uh-huh.
We were driving down yesterday in the rain, and it was raining hard. And we went by a truck, and the thing, you just couldn't see at all. You just could not see at all. There was so much water being thrown out from this truck that you could not see a thing. Your windshield wipers could not keep up with it. You just had to hope for the best while you're getting by him and hope nothing happens. And then we went by another truck, same area, same rain, and he didn't put out much water at all. So obviously there are ways that that can be controlled. I don't know how. It didn't look like he was much different. Maybe it's different tires, whatever. But we need to have a law that says whatever the one is that doesn't throw the water, that's what they have to use.
Yeah, he's probably running what's called super singles instead of dual tires. He probably's got single tires, and they don't throw up as much water as the duals. And that's becoming more and more popular now along the trucking industry because they're lighter than duals for one reason, and they have a bigger footprint.
Well, I don't care what they are, as long as they don't put that water out there, because, man, it's dangerous. I will slow down and go way behind a truck in order not to get beside him with all that water thrown out there, and that upsets me, too. I mean, I have enough trouble with trucks impeding progress, and we'll get into that on another show.
Absolutely. And I do have another clip. This one here is a comment made by Congressman John Dingell, or Dingell, D-I-N-G-E-L-L, which I thought was kind of interesting. And anyways, what do you think?
Dingell bells, Dingell bells.
Are we ready to let 73,000 more people die in our country if 18,000 died or whatever the number is, the figure that anyone comes up with?
Yeah, that was Windows freezing up on me. Let me try again because I love Windows.
The figure that anyone comes up with per year because of a lack of health insurance or health care, when this bill doesn't basically take effect until 2014?
Paul W., we're not ready to be doing it, but let me remind you, this has been going on for years. We are bringing it to a halt. The harsh fact of the matter is when you're going to pass legislation that will cover 300 American people in different ways, it takes a long time to do the necessary administrative steps that have to be taken to put the legislation together to control the people.
To control the people.
Yeah. Well, see, that's exactly what you were saying, that when they get into these offices, they're no longer the people.
Yeah.
They're now,
and I love it when
the
rulers.
Say,
American people want this. How do they know the American people want this?
Well,
when was the last time somebody called you or took a poll? And the sad thing about it is that in this in the 21st century, which we are currently in, even though I still am waiting for my jetpack, we have the technology now that, well, for one, we don't need the Electoral College, but they can actually get opinions from people and have a pretty good poll going on what the people of the United States really want.
But, you know, if American Idol can do it on the Internet, why can't we?
Exactly.
I mean, somehow or another, there are other things going on that use the Internet. And it's the simple fact that you have, you know, the biggest thing to talk about is if you get information or, for example, if you were to vote over the Internet, that people could use their computers and you can automates your computer to the point that it will vote for you 20 million times in a matter of 14 seconds or something, and you know, consequently you're not getting an accurate vote. Well, they've discovered that on the internet now, and they have another computer on the other end that can recognize that and only count the first one. So it's all fixed, folks. This is not a problem that you have to worry about. You keep this is old hat. Votes can be taken on the internet and information. But really, one of the things that I wanted to get at, because what you were talking about, is how do they know what the people think? They know what the people tell them. And my big, big, big push is, when was the last time you told your congressman anything? When? Did you ever do that? Have you ever told your congressman anything? And if not, why not? And how the hell do you expect him to know what you want unless you tell him?
Well, and that's a good point. And unless it really, well, the way things work is that unless it affects you personally, or unless you're really involved in local politics or whatever, what you do is you just have your little bitch and moan session at home, and that's the end of it. Unless you're mm-hmm. like us and we actually got a media that we can actually have a wider audience for bitch and moan. But anyways, but no, a very good point. People do not get involved, and that's one of the ideas of the coffee party, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, what they're trying to do.
Exactly. But I still say, while you have your little bitch and moan session at home, why don't you then just, after you've had your little bitch and moan session and you decide what your final bitch is, sit down at the computer and fire off a little email with a summary of your bitch to whomever it could do anything about it. And that's, we need to be, as a citizens, we need to be educated or informed enough to at least know who to bitch to.
Well, that's true. One thing that, okay, now I did this, I think, about 2 months ago, is I sent off a letter to Ron Wyden's office, and about 2 weeks later, they did respond. Unfortunately, the response was a canned response and did nothing in there even closely related to what I was asking about.
Well, then I would simply resend the email and ask them to answer it rather than sending me back somebody's fleeting thoughts or something.
Well, 22 minutes left in the show. I want to get into something real quick regarding the insurance, and that is, again, what it's actually going to cost. And I have some articles here from the Oregonian and also from the Heritage Foundation, which is very interesting. And one of them is what they're discussing, what it's actually going to cost companies for 14 legislations. And in the Oregonian, I believe this is on the 24th Oregonian, they're talking about, I scrolled up too fast and lost my page. the hit that, where are you? Welcome to live radio and confused computers. Here we go. Three main companies, John Deere and Company, Caterpillar and Valero Energy, says they expect to take a total of a $265 million hit to account for the smaller tax deductions under the new bill.
Well, see, one of the first things I would want to know is, what is their total tax bill?
That the article doesn't say, but I'm sure.
But see, we need to know a percentage, because if you know, it sounds to us like a lot of money, $350 million. But if their tax bill is $6 billion a year, it's minuscule. I mean, until we get some sort of a comparison, some sort of a percentage of something, we're kind of lost.
Right.
For example, a lot of what the government talks about just seems totally so far out of line to us, because we don't work in the billions and trillions of dollars. But big companies and big governments do.
Well, even small companies, under the old rules, I believe if you are a company with 50 or more employees, then I think I'm not sure if it's a law, but I think you're pretty much expected to have some sort of health insurance. Now it's going to be, if your employee makes a certain amount, you will have to subsidize that amount or pay a penalty.
Oh.
And so that's going to hurt a lot of small businesses.
Well, yeah, but if it's, then obviously they're going to be, people are going to be paying less to get underneath that figure.
Right. I'm just kind of scanning through the notes here.
I thought you were going to play a cut or something.
No, I'm done. I'm all cut it out.
Okay. I thought that's what you were doing. No, this business about how much it's going to cost. That's okay. I'll work with that because I have an opinion, of course, as I do on everything. But all right, quit laughing. Anyway, the business of knowing how much each of these companies is going to have to be spending and losing or whatever you want to call it on this new health bill or such, we don't know that yet. Because the health bill hasn't actually done anything, hasn't gotten into position yet. And I think that's basically one of the things that the Republican Party is doing. They can now take their time and go through this thing and change minimally many, many things in the process and then send it back and make it, and, you know, in the process they're delaying it. Now, why that should be a tactic, I'm not quite too sure about that, but the idea of refining it in this process could actually be a good thing. So maybe some things will change enough that things are not going to be as bad as people think.
Right. Well, okay, let me read this one couple paragraphs from the Heritage Foundation, which says, under the Bill Reconciliation Act of 2010, which is H.R. 4872, employers will face greater penalties than mandated by earlier versions of the health care reform legislation, such as H.R. 3590. Specifically, employers with more than 50 workers that do not qualify or that do not offer a qualified health plan or pay 60% of the health insurance premium would face an annual tax penalty of $2,000 per full-time worker.
You know, I'd have to look and see what employer. I haven't ever looked to see what big employers are offering, but don't most big employers give you a health plan that would pay at least 60% I don't know of anybody who doesn't. Maybe there are a couple of non-union organizations that maybe don't, and I don't know. I would wonder about that because it seems to me like these big organizations are going to be paying halfway decent things because they've got to try to keep their people.
Well, not necessarily. Yeah. The last company I worked for, they offered a health care plan, but it was, it wasn't much of one. I mean, it's better than nothing, but...
It didn't pay 60% of your health care?
It was not a very good plan.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked for other companies that were better, I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
Again, something was better than nothing. But
I don't know.
Well, let me write that.
Sometimes, if you have nothing, then you get government help.
Right. Well, again, assuming you can qualify for it, like the Oregon Health Care Plan, which when it first came, before it was even brought in, I thought it was a great plan because they sold it as a lot of the Oregonians that can't afford health care will be covered. Well, low income and. Well, it turns out that if you already qualify for welfare, Medicaid, or whatever, then you'll qualify for the Oregon Health Care Plan. But otherwise, most of the people in Oregon can't afford to pay for it, and it's also a strain on the budget. But speaking of that, let me run down a few comparisons that I have here. Again, this is from the Oregonian March 24th edition, where they do a comparison of the status in Oregon and how the new healthcare plan will change it, so I'm just going to paraphrase some of this stuff. For example, it says here, adults who can't afford health coverage under the adults under the poverty level are eligible for coverage under the Oregon Health Plan, but lack state funding. But because the lack of state funding has limited enrollment to a fraction of those eligible, changes in the federal reform starting in 2014, states must extend Medicaid coverage to all adults earning less than $14,400 a year, or 133% of the federal poverty level. Being denied coverage for pre-existing conditions currently in Oregon, health insurance to deny or drop coverage if you get sick or have a health problem deemed to be pre-existing. Under the new federal reform starting in 2014, insurance companies can no longer deny coverage to anyone with pre-existing conditions. college students and young adults currently in Oregon, health insurers get to decide what age-dependent children lose eligibility for family health insurance under the federal reform that changed to 26. Undocumented migrants or illegal aliens. The status in Oregon, undocumented immigrants are excluded from the Oregon health plan. Under the federal reforms, undocumented immigrants remain excluded and also will not be allowed to buy coverage in the health insurance coverage, even if they pay the full amount with their own money. And I'll just scan through here, and that's the last one that I have is compulsory insurance mandates in Oregon. Oregon health plan originally included requirements that employers must provide medical insurance to workers, but in 1996, legislation repealed that employer mandate. Under the federal reforms in 2014, individuals will be required to buy health insurance or pay a fine, with the exception of low-wage earners. Employers with more than 50 employees must provide health insurance or pay fines if any of the employees receive federal subsidies to buy health insurance. That's all I got. And looks like I kind of dropped Cliff off here, so we'll try to get him back on. Like I say, welcome to live radio. All right. Well, looks like Cliff went bye-bye here for a second. So. But basically, in my opinion, what they've been talking about as far as universal health care, they've been trying to advertise it as it, or making it sound like it is free health care, but it is not. Like I said earlier in the show, that if you are if you're expecting a refund and you don't participate, okay.
Are we reconnected now?
It's on, but streaming.
Ah, okay. Very good. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I just didn't know what to do, so I just sat here and let you do it, unfortunately. But it never disconnected me. I could go on but it always kept connecting me to Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, we need to stop talking about that, and we'll do that after the show, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I've had this happen yesterday. The internet just kind of hiccuped.
Oh, really? Huh. Well, I've not had a problem with my internet. It's been working just great. So, but then, you know, that's one thing about the computers. They're pretty reliable, but there are times when they decide not to be, obviously. Anyway, we were talking about, we need to talk about the coffee part just a little bit because.
Yeah, we've got 8 minutes left in the show, assuming that we still stay connected.
Well, one of the things, are we ready to do that now, or have you got still something you wanted to say about whatever we were talking about?
Well, let's go ahead and talk about the coffee party because we did.
Okay. Well, basically, I went on and checked, and because remember the other night, the last week when we were on, I was concerned that, you know, nobody in the state of Oregon bothered to do anything with this thing. So what's going on with Oregon? And there were several in the state of Washington. Now, there is a new one in the state of Washington that I found, the coffee party in South Lake Union. It's at the Uptown Espresso Coffee Shop at 500 Westlake North Avenue in Seattle, and it'll be on Sunday, the 28th, at 4 o'clock. So there are some of them going for Sunday instead of, because Saturday is the 27th. So anyway, also, there are three new ones in Oregon that at least I've been able to find. There's a coffee party Corvallis, and that's going to be on Monroe Avenue at 23rd Street in Corvallis, Oregon. There's a coffee party in Kaiser, which is going to be at Starbucks at 5001 River Road in Kaiser, Oregon. Now, they do say there are two attendees and the 25 max. So I guess, I mean, I don't know how many people are coming to any of these things, but if you can only get 25 people in the maximum, that sounds like a pretty good crowd to me. And I don't know if you can get to a consensus, if anything, with 25 people. And then there's the one in Portland, Oregon. It's going to be at the Coffee House Northwest, which is at 1951 West Burnside Street in Portland, and they have a 12 maximum number for how many people they can host. The others don't really give a maximum as a general rule, but some of these coffee houses are not real big, so that's part of the reason, you know, to keep them small. They keep what you were actually investigating the reason for having this, I believe, weren't you? And didn't they say something about coming up with ideas?
Yeah, it was an alternative to the Tea Party, I believe, that what they're now saying is more Republican based, which I don't know how they figured that. But the whole point is, if I understand it correctly, and of course my show notes went bye-bye because of that little crash here we had.
Okay.
Was basically to get people to get more involved.
Well, they want them to get more involved, but I remember originally the idea was to, even if you have a group of like 25 people at the coffee shop, they wanted you to break down into groups of five or six. So five groups of five would be the logical move, so that each one of these groups can reach a consensus on something. And then the idea is to get the different groups together and see if you can come up with a consensus on a thought and a cohesive thought, and then be able to put that to, I guess my question now is that what do they do with that then? You know, perhaps maybe the cohesive thought is to send a message to a congressman or somebody, but, and that would be why having small groups we work together so that all of the people in that group are actually interested in their area. You're not nationwide. You can concentrate on what's going on in your part of the world, your little group, and then when you come up with a consensus, you can send it to your senator or your representative, and you don't have to try to decide who to, and you can send it as a group. But perhaps my idea would, of course, I still think there's power in numbers. So if you have 25 people there and you even come up with a thought and a consensus and a combined thought, then each of you need to send it to your senator or congressman or whomever individually. It can be the same message, exactly. You could write up a message and then just each of you send it with your own email. Right. But everybody needs to send one so that there's this power in numbers. The numbers, I don't think, count nearly as much if you write in and say, okay, the 25 of us think this. No, each of you send it so that they know there's 25 of you.
Exactly, and so they're saying that there's at least, 4 minutes left in the show, there's at least 400 events this weekend nationwide, and one of the things that they're talking about is coffee with Congress. which is one of the reasons for the summit for this weekend, because I guess Congress is getting ready for their break. And they're saying that, you know, try and make an appointment and sit down and have coffee with your congressman. And
yeah, when they come back home, yeah, that would be important. That would be a great thing to do because each, you know, of course, again, being small groups, the congressman can only be in so many places at once.
Exactly. And as we are running out of time here, quickly, if you're interested in the coffee party, you can go to coffeepartyusa, I believe it's .org.
Well, you can get there from .com, too.
From .com? Okay. So, anyways, Coffee Party USA, or just do a Google search for them. You'll find them and check them out. It's an up-and-coming group, which is trying to encourage people to get more involved, and they're not siding on anything right now. So it's a really good idea and something that's really, really necessary to get people involved. And, again, since we're running out of time, I'd like to give next week's show a plug again. Next Friday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, there'll be a third episode of Trucker Talk, and we'll be discussing anything truck-related about some of the new laws or what it's like to just be a truck driver and over-the-road and type of lifestyle. So if you're a truck driver, non-truck driver, or just curious, be sure to tune in next Friday, April 2nd, 7 p.m. Pacific time. Or you can send your questions to talk@krbnradio.com, and we'll go ahead and read those questions over the air. And we do answer our emails, folks. And we'd like many people.
Now, you answer them as emails, too, right?
Correct. So we'll either.
As well as on the air.
Right. We'll read it over the air, and we will answer them back if you want us to read us over the air, and let us know if you want us to read your name or not.
Well, of course.
Well, not everybody wants to, but
this anonymous thing—you can't do anything anonymous. You gotta stand up and be counted, folks.
Well, that's a whole other show. Beginning.
Really? No kidding.
Otherwise, hopefully, if the computer doesn't crash, we'll be back here again next Saturday at 10 a.m. with whatever is news. In the news that we can kind of discuss. And if you have an idea, again, we'd love to hear from you. talk@krbnradio.com. You know, like,
yes, any kind of an idea. And it can be anything. I mean, we're out there. Any old kind of thing. And I'm not afraid to talk about religion or we are talking about politics, of course. Those are the two scary things that radio hosts take to stay away from sometimes.
Yeah, but we have no shame. We'll talk about anything. Well, just about. We do have
no shame. and we can talk about anything, whether we know anything about it or not, by the way. So, but the idea is we can record on the computer just like everybody else can, so we'll know everything. We know everything. I'm looking forward to hearing somebody give us some questions and give us some thoughts.
Yeah, join in. We'll be more than happy to have you, and it doesn't have to be about the show topic either. Just call and say hi. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, even in the middle of our show, if you want to change the topics, we'd be probably more willing than not to change the subject to whatever you want to talk about, because actually, it might be more fun than what we're talking about. This is fun. Bye.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.